Yul Brynner. Martin Bolson. Massimo Ranieri. Barbara Boucher. As a man eating popcorn watches a band, a shadowy figure mounts the stairs to a building beside the stage. Death's Rage. With narrative description by Audiovision Canada. Screenplay, Guy Castaldo. Editor and creative advisor, Pima Novak. Photography, Serge DeFizio. Music, Guido D'Angelis. The muzzle of a silenced rifle protrudes around a curtain. Executive producer, Frank Caruso. Shot, the man with the popcorn tumbles slowly to the ground. Produced by Raymond R. Homan. Directed by Anthony M. Dawson. The band plays on, oblivious to the murder. The New York City audience applauds. At a harness racing track in Naples, Italy.
At the turn, it's Altavoy in the lead by a length. Riviera Blue in second place. Swallow third. Swallow's pulling up. No. It's Altavoy. Altavoy's the winner. Riviera Blue second. Swallow third.
Outside the clubhouse.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Number five. Number five, gentlemen. No, no. Number five, mister. Believe me, I used to be a jockey.
Yeah?
Yeah. Angelo, you tell him. He says he already bet another number.
Yeah? Who do you like?
Six.
Ah, number six, very smart.
No, look in the fourth race.
Man wants number six. Number six it is.
Angelo leaves his friend and Sal Leonardi, the better.
Second position, third, Fantasia, John Brown, Yalta.
Angelo slips under the rail onto the track.
Number six, Carousel, is still ahead. Yalta is dropping back.
As Leonardi watches the race through binoculars, Angelo slips into a shed in the infield.
Carousel, number six, followed by Lightning Streak, number five, and Fantasia, number three. Carousel still in the lead. Number five.
Guarding the shed, a dwarf watches the horses race by.
No, he's broken his stride. John Brown is moving up. The Carousel keeps ahead, followed by John Brown, Yalta, and him. His Carousel is number six. Carousel is the winner. John Brown, number one, second, and Yalta, number seven, third.
In the stands, a man in a trench coat eyes the spectators seated around mafia boss Gennaro Galli. Sorting through his betting stubs, Gallo hands them to the man beside him, then leaves his seat. He greets two women in fur coats, then stops beside two of his henchmen. With a nod, Gallo indicates Leonardi down at the trackside.
55-1. Congratulations.
Congratulations to you. Here, cash.
Okay. See you at the gate.
Leonardi watches Angelo and his friend walk through the crowd. Behind him, a man in a tweed coat watches him. One of Gallo's henchmen scans the crowd with his binoculars. A man with a mustache looks up at him. With a nod, the henchman sends the mustached man and his partner into the crowd after Leonardi.
He had a good tip.
As Angelo and his friend Pepinello collect the winnings from the cashier, the mustached man follows Leonardi out of the racetrack. As Leonardi lights his cigar.
Get a light.
It's the mustached man's partner.
Keep your hands where they are. We're going for a ride.
The mustached man shoves a gun in Leonardi's back.
Move.
They escort Leonardi to their car.
Get it.
As he leaves the track, the man in the tweed coat spots the kidnapping.
All right, let me tell Tony.
The man in the tweed coat shoots one of the thugs. The mustached man and Leonardi dive behind cars. Leonardi shoots another thug. Then he breaks cover, but the mustached man shoots him in the back. Then he shoots the man in the tweed coat. As the mustached man gets into his car and drives away, Angelo runs out of the track with Pepinello and the dwarf, Dudo. They kneel beside Leonardo.
25-1, mister. 25-1. You're a winner. Look.
Leonardo glances from the money to Angelo, then dies. Angelo reaches for the money, but a cop takes it.
What's this money?
Belongs to him. He's a winner. He's a very lucky guy.
Elsewhere.
There's a New Yorker right in the middle of your town, and you don't even know why.
He wouldn't come voluntarily to tell me why, so I've arranged a friendly kidnapping, with the ransom being a little information.
Be careful, Gennaro. Don't do anything that would let New York in on what we're doing.
Don't worry. I just want us to be the only ones to have secrets.
Mr. Gallo.
It's Rocco, the man in the trench coat from the track.
It's time to go and chat with the Americans.
Gallo crosses the terrace to Rocco.
Where is he?
Rocco glances at the villa. Gallo leads him inside.
He's dead.
Dead?
It's the mustached man.
And you come straight to my house?
Nobody saw me come in. I'm positive. Nobody.
What's positive is that nobody's going to see you go out.
Gallo looks at Rocco.
No.
Rocco reaches into his coat.
No. No!
Back at the track, a police inspector and his sergeant gaze at Leonardi's body.
Well, Angelo, still want to get into the big league, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I hope you never do. Who's the one over there?
An American bodyguard.
Some bodyguard. Well, now we wait.
For what?
I have a feeling that this gentleman's American friends are going to be sending over a Christmas present in the form of a small army.
The Manhattan skyline is shrouded in haze. A cemetery lies beneath the leaden skies. Pallbearers carry Leonardi's coffin on their shoulders as a priest leads the funeral procession among the gravestones. Clad in black, the mourners follow the coffin. Mafia Don Gino Catroni and his capo, Paolo Papalia, walk side by side.
I don't know. If I send another guy over, chances are they'll send him back in a box.
You're not just going to let it go?
No. Who must end?
I know. Peter Marcia.
They stop beside the graveside.
Peter Marcia. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. He's changed since they killed his brother. He's a different man now. I don't think he'll do it.
I know he will.
The Brooklyn Bridge spans the East River to Manhattan Island. Just upriver, the Manhattan Bridge soars overhead. A white Cadillac pulls up beneath the Manhattan Bridge. Paolo Papalia gets out of the car. He spots a man fishing on the riverbank and walks toward him.
Any luck, Peter?
Fishing's got nothing to do with luck.
Papalia walks to the riverbank and stands staring out across the water.
What's on your mind?
Sal Leonardi is on my mind. He's dead. $50,000.
Help me.
Peter, I know you have your reasons for not working. I have a reason that'll make you change your mind. A good reason that'll make you change your mind. Your brother, the man who ordered him killed, did it for his own reasons. We knew nothing about it. I promised that one day I'd give you an address and a name. The man who had Leonardi killed is the man who shot your brother.
The address.
Names.
Name?
Gennaro Gallo.
Later, Peter stands at the beach on the Bay of Naples, looking up at a modern villa perched high above the water. With his camera slung over his shoulder, he walks away from the beach and gets into the taxi cab waiting for him at the curb. From a hillside overlooking the villa, Peter examines the terrace through the viewfinder of his camera. Later, the taxi carries Peter through the streets of Naples, across a large open square. Out of the car, he mounts a long telephoto lens to his camera. Sighting through the lens, Peter focuses on a clump of flowers at the water's edge. Then he pans the camera to frame a close-up of two men talking. As Peter watches, the conversation breaks off and the men run to their cars. Peering through the viewfinder, Peter spots Gennaro Gallo in one of the cars, but a spreading red stain obscures his vision. The taxi carries Peter toward police headquarters in a medieval castle. Inside.
What do you mean, no wait out here? Half of that is ours.
Yeah, and half of nothing is nothing. Which is what we'll get if you two go in there and start shooting your mouths off.
Angelo leaves Pepinello and Dodo on the stairs.
Now, you cannot get in without a pass. I'm sorry.
Dodo, it's
an important money. I'm sure it is, but you have to have a pass.
Falling in behind two cops, Angelo pretends to be their prisoner and walks past the guard. In one of the corridors, he spots a waiter.
Where have you been, eh? This is how the inspector gets when you keep him waiting. It's not for the inspector. Okay.
Angelo carries a tray of espresso.
The inspector's in there. Thanks.
Would you look at this?
Angelo hands out cups of espresso, turning his face away from the inspector.
Who let you in?
I let myself in.
Let yourself out?
Inspector, listen. The money that the American won, part of it's mine.
That money belongs to his heirs. If you want to talk to him about your commission, you can do so. But you have no legal claim to it.
I earned it. You know how it works.
You bet your ass I know how it works. If you don't want me to book you for it, you stop wasting my time.
Look who just checked in at the Hotel Excelsior.
The inspector reads the note.
So, that's the army, huh?
Whoever had Leonardi killed might turn himself in when he finds out Marciani's looking for him.
A professional killer comes into town under his own name, and we find out about it from the hotel. Now, what the hell are the airport police doing?
On strike?
They're good at that.
You need it. Out.
Come on.
Out.
Come on.
Come on, get out. Out.
Yeah, all right.
Out.
I'm going.
Out.
Don't worry. Hey, you think this Peter Marciani will pay off Leonardi's debts?
Sure, with a kick in the ass.
Oh, and he must be a cop.
Ah. That night, as Peter returns to his hotel...
Mr. Marciani.
Angelo removes his cap as Peter glares at him from the hotel entrance.
I'm Angelo. I heard you were in Naples, and, I came to see if I could do anything for you.
Like what?
What? I don't know.
Neither do I.
If you need me, I'll be at the track. That's where I was when they killed Mr. Leonardi.
Peter glances back at Angelo, then continues on.
Coming up to the home stretch, Lady Hamilton. Rosalie is overtaking. Yes, Rosalie is the winner. Number three, Lady Hamilton. Number five, second. And Stewart, number two, third.
Take this, okay? Here, the lot on 13.
Catching sight of Peter, Angelo grins.
Mr. Marciani, I didn't think I'd see you here. I was going to be an associate of Mr. Leonardi's. I like the way I can find things out.
Yeah, what's that?
Lots of things. Like the horses. Well, this race, the favorite is...
He looks at Peter's betting stub.
Yes, number one. Now he's a good horse. But, he's going to break stride in the south turn. Just you watch. Pepinella.
Yeah?
Take care of this gentleman.
As Pepinello escorts Peter into the stands, the drivers line up for the next race. In the infield.
Here. Keep your eyes open, Ditto.
Angelo slips into the shed. And glances around nervously. He pulls a pellet rifle out from under a tarpaulin. Breaking open the barrel, he reaches into his pocket for a pellet and loads the gun.
They're at the starting gate. They're off! Number six. Following closely behind Rabat. Number one. He's moving up. Now number one is in the lead. Rabat. Lucifer and Paul.
Pepinello hands Peter his binoculars, and Peter uses them to follow the leaders on the track.
Wellington overtakes Rabat. It's Wellington in the lead, followed by Paul and Rabat. Wellington maintains first place.
In the shed, Angelo pokes the barrel of the rifle out through the slats in the wall.
They're halfway around the course now with Rabat back in the lead.
Aiming at Rabat, Angelo fires.
Number one breaks stride. Number one, the favorite for this race is disqualified.
Peter is astonished.
Lucifer takes the lead on the outside.
Angelo grins.
Gladiator moves up to second place. Lucifer, yes, Lucifer wins. Number six. Second, Gladiator, number two.
Throwing his betting stub away, Peter leaves the stands with Pepinello. Sergeant Cannavale steps out of the crowd and tails them into the clubhouse.
I lose my commission.
Am I?
No. Why should you pay? Well, 20%. 200,000.
10%. Two coffees.
Gallo spots Peter at the end of the bar. Peter reaches into his jacket and Gallo and his henchmen freeze. Peter glares at them. Then he pulls out a handful of money and counts off some bills to pay for the coffee. Gallo puts down his drink. Glaring at Peter, he and his henchmen leave the bar. Peter hands Pepinello some money, but his eyes follow the Mafia Don's retreat.
Hey, what's this?
Our commission.
Angelo grabs it.
How about this, number six? Now do you think you can use me?
Sure. Next time I have a horse I want shot, I'll call for you right away.
Outside, Gallo gets into the back of his Rolls Royce with Rocco.
No, he's got a personal reason for coming after me. And personal reasons lead to mistakes.
Do you really believe that?
Look at him. Coming out into the open like that. He's taking chances just to scare me. So that's two mistakes already. One, Mechanics don't take chances. Two, I'm not scared.
You know you're a sitting duck out here.
Good way to get a look at the hunters.
Mr. Marchani, I'll give you a good look at them. Meet me at the club, around the corner from the hotel, tonight.
Angelo spots Cannavale reading a racing form.
Look, Blackfoot. Yesterday's.
He hands him today's racing form. Later, at the club, two dancers run out past the stage.
Come back here, you stupid bitch. I want you to hear me. Not me. You keep that right out of
here. Hey, what is every night?
Come on, girls. What's happening?
That's enough of that crap. Let's get some work done around here.
Angelo kisses one of the girls, then the other. Then he walks backstage.
Who is it?
It's me, Angelo.
Hi.
Annie, will you do me a favor?
That depends.
Angelo kisses her on the neck.
Annie, tonight there's an American coming to the club to see me. Mm-hmm. And you could help.
I tell you what. Later, I'll go out there and take my clothes off right in front of him. How is that, huh?
You're going to spend the night with him.
Get out.
Oh, come on. Come on, Annie. What's the difference if,
Angelo.
Yeah?
Now, you know I do a lot for my friends, but I've got to draw the line somewhere, so just forget it.
Okay, Annie. Sorry.
That's all right. It's not the first time. I tell you what. If you're a good boy, I'll let you take me to lunch tomorrow. That way you can tell me about your big meeting.
It's a deal. Well, we'll be watching you. Ciao.
Ciao.
That night, Cannavale hides around the corner as Peter emerges from his hotel. Peter grins as he spots the tail. As a car pulls up to the curb, Peter heads for Cannavale.
Come with me.
Hey, quick. What is this? Where are we going? Where are you taking me?
Peter drags him along the sidewalk toward the club.
Sorry, we're full.
We better let him in.
Yeah, who is he?
A very important man. And this is his bodyguard.
All right, go in.
Come on, what are you waiting for? Have a good time.
Dotto waves them inside, where a scantily clad dancer and her male partner are performing on stage. At a table down front, Angelo sits alone. Spotting Peter and Cannavale, Angelo waves them over to his table. Peter doesn't move, so Angelo walks over to him.
Hi. Don't you want to see the show?
Peter glances at another table. He leads Angelo to it and peers around the room.
Yeah, I can see everything.
He sits down with his back to a wall.
Well?
Take a look.
Angelo opens a photo album.
Pretty, huh?
Peter flips past a photo of Annie.
It's a long story.
What is this?
What is this? You see the men in her life. Pasquale Russo, kidnapper. Hunters.
Nice work.
Antonio Lopresti, safecracker. His accomplice, Mario Mancuso. Tino Garagiola, known as the chemist. Makes up bombs, poison, cooks morphine base.
As the dancer and her partner leave the stage, the MC takes over.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present the lady you all came here to see, the one and only Lady Anne.
The curtain rises on Annie, perched on a chair, leaning on a cane, and wearing a top hat with a satin swallow-tailed coat. Annie starts her number.
Esposito Costello. Harry's a Beretta, 765, finger blades. This is one of Gallo's hitmen, Bastoni Sauro.
Angelo breaks off. Peter is looking at Annie. A half dozen mirrors accentuate Annie's long legs as she high steps across the stage. Planting the tip of her cane between her feet, She reaches up to her hat. She bobs and sways, looking straight at Peter. Then she pirouettes, slipping off two black scarves. Annie twirls them before her, then tosses them to the audience. She slips the coat from her shoulders and drops it to the floor. Her eyes lock on Peter as she shimmies provocatively. Reaching behind her, Annie unclips her sleeveless waistcoat. Discarding it, she covers her breasts with her hands. Peter watches intently as she bares her breasts with a flourish. Discarding her bow tie, Annie removes her collar. Slipping her hands into her waistband, she slides her satin trunks down, tosses them away. Wearing only white cuffs and black gloves, she removes her top hat and bows. Then modestly covers her breasts.
Thanks, Angel. You better take this back where they came from.
I will. Well, can I work for you?
You already have.
But I can do more.
Peter gets up and steps toward Cannavale.
No. Go to bed, because that's what I'm going to do.
Good night, sir.
Wait, Annie's coming over.
Annie, you have an admirer. Mr. Latimer.
Hello.
Have a drink with us.
I'll have some of yours.
As she sips the drink, she looks over at Peter. He smiles slightly at her.
Yeah. Buy her some champagne.
As Peter walks out, Angelo frowns. Then he smiles and walks over to greet Annie.
What's the matter? Your big meeting already over?
I guess so.
Sure.
Outside, a man steps out of the shadows and jabs a gun into Peter's back.
If I were you, I'd shoot.
You're worth double the life.
If I were you, I'd still shoot.
So, go on.
The man and his partner escort Peter to their car. Dudo lies in the back seat, dead. Peter stares at one of the gunmen.
You got in my way. If you'd gotten yours, you'd have done the same. Move.
Come on, girls, you're both.
Peter's kidnappers drive into a police roundup of prostitutes. One cop waves them on.
Come on, get this car out of here. You can't stop here.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Getting out of the car, Peter walks calmly past the cops.
Oh, you fools are all alike. Any excuse?
Help and dope, goddammit.
I've done nothing. I earn honest living. I'm no criminal.
As the kidnappers drive around the melee, Peter jogs toward a subway station. Stopping outside the station, the kidnappers take up pursuit on foot and dash into the metro after Peter. Peter hurries down an escalator. The kidnappers race after him. Peter sprints across the bridge, spanning the tracks. Crossing the bridge, the kidnappers pause, then dart down the stairway. Looking for Peter on the empty platform, they draw their guns. They split up, heading for opposite ends of the platform. One man enters the gloomy subway tunnel. He edges along the tunnel wall, peering into the darkness. Peter grabs his wrist. Peter heaves the man along the wall. As Peter reaches for the gun, the man slams him into the wall. Peter elbows him, punches him, and tosses him onto the tracks. As Peter stares at the train speeding past, the spreading red stain reappears in his vision. He places a hand over his eyes.
Pasquale!
As the pursuer runs along a platform toward the tunnel, Peter stoops and picks up the dead man's gun. Dead, the man flops down onto the rail bed. Later, an ophthalmologist peers through his instruments into Peter's eyes.
Is it painful?
Yes, very painful.
Well, it certainly sounds like glaucoma. Let's have another look.
Well, it's not glaucoma. Just write the prescription for me.
Better to have another look. Please.
Rising, Peter walks into the doctor's office.
Sit down there. Mr. Marcioni, if your condition is getting worse, as you say, you may be losing your sight.
The doctor switches on a light.
You know, eyes are very strange instruments. They are both extremely tough and terribly fragile. Probably more so than any other organ of the body, the optic nerve can be affected by some traumatic experience in the past, some terrifying incident burnt into the brain, an image that comes back to blind you every time something jogs your memory.
Peter's mind flashes back to images of his brother being gunned down in New York. He stands by helplessly as his brother falls to the bullets. The glare on the windshield obscures the men inside the car.
You are right. It is not glaucoma.
Write the prescription, Doctor. The same as these.
He hands his eye drops to the doctor.
Pilocarpine. Well, as long as you keep thinking that the problem is in your eyes, I suppose the drops will offer some relief. Personally, I recommend you try to treat the cause and not the symptoms. There is nothing wrong with your eyes, Mr. Marciani.
He hands Peter the prescription. Later, as fishmongers hawk their wares outside police headquarters, Peter emerges from the building.
Okay, go on.
Cannavale picks up the microphone in his car.
I've got two boys following him into the fish market.
Peter glances over his shoulder, then spots Annie in the crowd.
Nothing.
Wearing a smile, Peter makes his way through the crowd towards Annie. Then glances over his shoulder again. Cannavale's men trail him through the market.
Shopping spree?
Hello. No, I was just looking for some dishes to throw out the window.
To throw out the window?
I guess you've never been to Naples for New Year's. It's crazy. We have firecrackers and people throw things out the windows.
What about this?
He picks up a small vase.
Yes, it's not bad.
Let's try it.
It's really awful, China.
Peter drops it.
Well?
It breaks nicely.
Nice sound, too.
Capita pasta, ma vedrò un pezzo di rischio. Rompe negli scavi di Bombay.
What? What's he saying?
He says it was a priceless antique, one of a kind.
Tell him we'll take a half a dozen just like it.
Allora, mi da mezza dozzina, va bene?
Subito, signore.
Angelo walks down a side street.
Is Annie upstairs?
No, she went out to the market.
Thank you.
You're talking about Angelo? I've known him for years. He's a friend of mine. He's very fond of me.
I'm glad to hear it.
You mean last night you left because you thought...
Something like that.
That's stupid.
Entering the market, Angelo smiles as he spots Peter and Annie. His smile fades as he spots the two plainclothes cops tailing him.
What gorgeous things.
Taking a young boy by the hand, Angelo points out the cops to him, then hands him some money. Running past the cops, the boy steals a lobster.
Wait, I can't bother.
Running away, the boy knocks over the fishmonger's display. The cops scramble over a table knocked into their path.
Got two hoods following you. Get under cover. Hurry!
Angelo pushes Peter and Annie out of the market. They run into a shed, and Angelo closes the door behind them.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on? You had two hoods following you.
They were two cops, Angelo.
Never take out the lady without the chaperone.
Okay. Oh, now you've had a good laugh. I'll get out of your way.
Hey! People who work for me don't leave until I tell them to.
Angelo grins.
We need a car. Discreet and fast. Here, buy one.
Okay, boss.
Angelo leaves. One of Cannavale's men peers into the shed, checking on them.
It's about time. Let's go.
At the villa.
I might have a little trouble finding boys to go after him. Marciani's a legend.
Yeah? Well, so's the price I'm paying. Plenty. Look, my boys had him, but they tried to bring him in alive. Tell yours not to make the same mistake, right?
Right.
You know where I'll be. And let me know when you've got something organized.
Later, at Peter's hotel room.
It's always been my dream to go there. Is it nice?
Nice? No, New York isn't nice. New York is like the whole world, with all the good and the bad mixed together so close that you can't tell one from the other.
Peter wears a robe. Annie is nude.
It isn't nice, but it's beautiful. It's really the only town there is.
Will you take me there?
Sure. In New York, there's a sound of every language in the world. All day, all night. Instead of hills and mountains, there are these huge buildings. Make you feel like a giant, like there's nowhere else you'd ever want to be.
Except right here.
Oh, yes, except right here.
Toasting each other, they sip their champagne. They kiss. As Peter sets their champagne glasses aside, Annie sinks back on the bed and pulls him down to her.
Does that happen in New York, too?
In New York, they don't even knock.
Peter gets up.
What is it?
Your medicine, Mr. Marciani.
Thank you.
What kind of medicine?
All the better to see you with.
Ah, the big bad wolf. What did you do with my granny?
I sent her to buy some eye drops.
Ha, ha, ha. Very funny.
Peter steps into the bathroom.
We have to go out and buy some more things to throw out the window.
See anything in the room you like?
You mean I can take anything in here?
Sure. Why not?
Ooh. Let's see. That looks like a great objet d'art. Now, what else?
Peter raises the eyedropper to his eye. A drop falls onto his robe, and it burns the material. He drops the eyedropper into the sink where it lies smoking.
Peter!
Annie hurries to the bathroom. As Peter turns to her, she spots the burn on his robe.
It does it.
Don't worry. I'm not about to be thrown out of the window. But you can add this to your collection.
He hands her the eyedropper.
Come, I'll show you the rest.
Peter Peter removes his robe. Sitting on the bed, he picks up the phone.
Hold Porter, please.
At the front desk.
Yes, Mr. Marciani. I have it right here.
The porter summons a bellboy.
I'm sorry, sir, but I thought it was best not to disturb you. Yes, sir, I'll send it right up. Room 430.
How's this for my collection?
A beauty.
Peter tosses it aside. As Annie's eyes light on the pistol lying in the sheets, Peter picks it up and dangles it before her. Then he pulls her to him and kisses her tenderly. As they sink back on the bed, Annie returns his kisses. The phone rings.
Yes. Yes, it's me. Inspector?
Later, at a restaurant.
You don't expect me to believe that, do you?
Why not? Lots of Italian Americans visit the old country to see where they might have been born, to look at the kind of people they might have become.
Or to finish a family feud.
You sure you're not hungry?
No. We Italians have our evening meal in the evening, not in the late afternoon.
Well, if you don't want to eat, what do you want?
A little straight talk from you.
About what?
Well, to start with, about your brother. Now, I received a wire from New York this morning which says that Gennaro Gallo was the prime suspect in your brother's killing. Okay? They didn't have enough evidence for an indictment, and besides, Gallo was being deported on other charges, so the New York City police dropped the investigation. Now, over here, Gallo is a respectable citizen, and he has a legitimate export business. He's watched so closely, he couldn't do otherwise.
Sounds to me like he's not being watched closely enough.
Afraid you're right. Now, if I could get him for trying to have you killed, we'd be able to watch him through the bars of a cell. See? And you can tell your friends in New York that Gallo was arrested before you could get to him.
The only people trying to kill me are those maniacs you issue your licenses to. I'm a tourist.
How would you like to tour one of our prisons for 10 or 15 years for the murder of two men in the subway last night?
Arrest me.
No. Gallo's hiding out someplace. And you're going to lead me to him. You can do this voluntarily, then you're free to leave the country. If you don't, I'm going to keep you here forever.
Peter glances out the window, then pushes the inspector to the floor as a bullet pierces the glass. Drawing his pistol, the inspector fires back.
Thanks.
Outside, a rifle in his hand, Rocco leaps a wall, then runs down the street. Peter and the inspector run into the square outside the restaurant. As Rocco gets into the back of the getaway car, Peter and the inspector run toward the sound of a revving engine. The inspector waves over a police car. As he gets in and picks up the pursuit, Rocco watches the police car depart from around the corner. The man in the getaway car is a double. The police car slides around the corner after the getaway car. As Angelo starts the engine of his car, Peter spots Rocco and runs toward him. Ducking around the corner, Rocco breaks into a run. Angelo gets out of his car.
What's happened?
Get the car and stick close to me.
As Angelo returns to his car, Peter trails Rocco on foot. Glancing over his shoulder, Rocco runs out of a side street and darts through traffic. As Rocco gets into a waiting car, Peter emerges from the mouth of the side street. Spotting the newspaper in Rocco's hand, he ducks into a shop.
Keep the engine running and stay ready for anything.
Rocco's pistol is hidden under the newspaper. Inside the shop.
May I help you?
Peter suddenly ducks away from the window.
May I help you?
Give me one of these.
He points to a cake.
Back it a bit.
As Peter peers through the window at Rocco, a bass drum obstructs Rocco's line of fire. A band of street performers is stopped in front of the bakery window.
That's all I need.
Angelo pulls onto the sidewalk in front of the bakery.
Get going, will you?
Peter gets into the back of Angelo's car.
The inspector told me you went out last night.
You always talk to cops.
I had to identify a friend of mine. He was laid out on a slab in the morgue.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I saw that.
It was my fault.
You keep your mind on what you're doing, not on what you've done.
Meanwhile, the getaway car careens around the corner, scattering street vendors as it slams into their displays before ducking down a laneway with a police car on its tail.
Watch it.
Attention all cars in Santa Lucia area. Watch out for a white Alfa Romeo Giulia with Naples plates.
As the police car weaves through traffic, the getaway car takes a corner too fast and crashes into a van.
Hey, you're blind or what?
The getaway car reverses past the police car, and the driver locks the brakes. Cranking the wheel hard, he accelerates down a flight of stone steps to the street below.
Cut him off down below.
The getaway car peels across a parking area and out into the street. The driver weaves along the narrow street and up on the sidewalk, dodging parked cars. He rejoins the main flow of traffic with the police car on his tail, then darts across three lanes of traffic to make a turn. The police car stays with him. The getaway car slides around four lanes of traffic backed up at a light, then crosses into the oncoming lanes and speeds across a set of streetcar tracks with the police close behind. As the police car accelerates to pass, the getaway car weaves from side to side, cutting it off. At the approach of another police car, the getaway car goes into a power turn, reverses direction, and darts down a laneway leading onto a wharf. Then it screeches to a halt. As the gangsters jump out, the police pull up. Rocco's double opens fire on the police. The officers shoot back. The gangsters sprint out onto the wharf, and the cops follow. One of the gangsters falls, shot. One of the officers catches a bullet. As the police close in, Rocco's double takes a bullet in the back and tumbles into the harbor. The last gangster trips.
Don't shoot! I want to talk to him!
An officer tackles the man. As he wrestles with him, another officer kicks the gangster in the head, then helps to subdue him. The inspector smiles at the capture. Meanwhile, Peter and Angelo continue to pursue Rocco. They follow his car into a cemetery. The two cars weave along the narrow cobblestone road that winds its way uphill through the cemetery. Rocco's driver narrowly misses an oncoming vehicle.
Can't you go any faster, goddammit?
Rocco's car crashes into a garbage can.
Come on, let's break for it.
Rocco and the driver sprint up the stairs of a mausoleum. Rocco turns to fire at Angelo's car. As Rocco runs, Peter fires. Hit, Rocco slumps onto a wall. Peter takes cover from the driver's gun.
Get up!
As the driver helps Rocco up another set of stairs, Peter and Angelo run toward the mausoleum. Rocco leans against a tree, breathing hard. Tripping, Rocco clings to the railing around the monument. As Peter and Angelo draw nearer, the driver leaves Rocco and ducks behind another monument. Rocco makes a break for it, and Peter hears him. The driver leaps from a wall as Rocco lurches painfully behind a monument. The driver scrambles onto a path. Glancing over his shoulder toward Peter and Angelo, he makes his escape. Angelo dashes over to a monument and wipes something from the stone. It's Rocco's blood. As they approach Rocco's hiding spot, Peter stops Angelo. They split up, circling the monument.
Where's Gennaro Gallo?
Rocco turns at the pressure from Peter's gun in his neck.
I don't know.
Convince him.
Angelo throws a punch. Peter jams his pistol into Rocco's ribs.
Where's Gennaro Gallo?
I don't know. Where is he?
Where is Gallo?
He was that Don Chicho Cardino's villa.
Rocco crumbles to his knees. Then falls back, dead.
He told us what we want to know. Why kill him?
So you couldn't tell that we know.
Peter walks away, leaving Angelo staring mournfully at Rocco's corpse. Later, in an abandoned warehouse, Peter washes his face in a basin. Picking up a towel, he dries his hands. Then he dries his face.
What's gonna happen when they find that corpse at the cemetery?
They're gonna bury it. All right, repeat what you're gonna do.
Well, first I call Annie.
And?
And I don't tell her where we are, no matter what. Then I go to the station, pick up the bag, and come right back. Okay?
Here's your claim check.
Thanks.
Angelo drives out of the warehouse and along a bluff overlooking the sea. The track leading to the road passes a solitary house. Annie is packing a suitcase at her place.
Hello, Angelo. Where's Peter? Is he all right?
Sure, he's fine.
Angelo, please tell me where he is.
I can't.
All right. I guess you're right. But listen, will you do me a favor? Would you please tell him that I...
He told me to tell you that he loves you very much.
Annie beams.
He did? He really did? He really said that?
Yeah, he really did. And he means it. I'm very happy for you, Annie.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you.
Take care now.
Okay, you take care. Bye-bye.
Meanwhile, at police headquarters...
Yeah? I'm his lawyer.
All right, go in.
The prisoner is the man the police captured on the wharf.
Who are you?
I'm standing in for your lawyer, Ravelli. He's in court and can't come today.
He opens his attaché case.
He sent me to settle this business.
He reaches for a silenced automatic pistol. Moments later, he leaves the room.
Finished already?
No, but I need the arresting officer's report. How do I get downstairs?
Just follow the corridor to the right.
Thank you.
Well.
As the man walks away, the guard steps back to the room and opens the door. The prisoner is dead.
All right, now you get down here and just go through the mugshots. See if you can identify the lawyer. I'll get someone over to Ravelli's office. Well, what's going to happen to you? I don't know what's going to happen to you. Sure as hell not going to get a medal for it, I can tell you that. Now, just get down here fast.
The witness?
Right.
What do we do now?
Well, you can't beat him, you have to join him. I'm going to try to get a message to Gallo.
Ah, the old man.
Right again. I'll be at Gargiulo's. Keep smiling.
Angelo leaves the station with a sports bag under his arm. From a parked car, two men watch him get into his car. Angelo pulls out into traffic. The two men drive off after him. Glancing in his rearview mirror, Angelo turns down a side street. Checking his mirror again, Angelo turns another corner. The men following him cruise slowly along the street. As they disappear down the block, a small dog emerges from the laneway. The dog moves aside as Angelo backs out of the laneway into the street. Then he returns the way he came. Another driver spots Angelo and picks up his tail. At Don Cargiulo's villa, the inspector gazes up at a painting as he sips his drink by an open window. Spotting his host being wheeled to him in a wheelchair, he walks across the room to greet him.
Ah, Senor Gargiulo, I appreciate your seeing me. Senor Gargiulo, I want to know where Gennaro Gallo is hiding. And don't tell me that he has become an honest businessman. I mean, I know better than that. I also know that Peter Marciani is looking for him for more than one reason. At least, you can help me get a message to Gallo. Now, the Americans want to see him dead, now that I'm on to him.
He wheels Don Cargiulo across the room.
Is he useful to this organization here? You see, I have to bring in somebody for what's been going on here. For everything that's been going on here. I would settle for Marciani. Then, I would help Gallo save his business and his reputation. If you'll help me set a trap. Who knows? It may even save his life. So long.
The inspector lets himself out through a door to the gardens. Gallo steps out of the next room and approaches Don Cargiulo. They both gaze out the window after the inspector. Annie walks along a lane carrying her shopping. As she mounts the stairs to her apartment building, a man grabs her by the throat. Annie hits him with her grocery bags and breaks free, only to run into the grasp of his partner.
Where is he? Where is he?
I don't know.
Want my friend to break your arm?
Oh, he didn't tell me it's the truth.
No, it's a lie.
Help! Help me!
A woman steps onto her balcony.
Ah, let go! Somebody call the police. She's been attacked!
The thugs flee.
Oh, mamma mia. Don't worry, poor child. Oh, povera creatura. I come now. I help you. I come now.
Angelo drives along the highway that skirts the bay. The car tailing him follows half a kilometer back. Angelo turns off onto the side road leading to the warehouse. His tail hesitates, then makes the turn too. From the side of the road, Peter fires one round into the man tailing Angelo. The driver struggles to control his car, but crashes through a barrier and topples over the cliff to crash into the bay below. Angelo pulls up in front of the warehouse.
Peter!
He hurries to the warehouse with a sports bag in his hand.
Peter! Peter?
The warehouse is empty. A few minutes later, Angelo sits on the stony beach beside the bay. He looks at the sports bag curiously. He starts to open it, but stops as he spots Peter coming along the rocks leading down to the beach.
Where have you been?
For a walk. How did it go?
No problem. I had a car in my tail, but they didn't have a chance.
Peter smiles.
Good. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, open it.
The bag contains cartridges and a disassembled rifle. Pulling out the pieces, Peter attaches the butt to the stock. At a nod from Peter, Angelo pulls a tennis racket from the bag.
Quite a racket.
Reaching into a compartment, Angelo pulls out the rifle barrel and hands it to Peter. Taking a screwdriver from the bag, Peter secures the barrel to the stock. Angelo watches intently as Peter attaches the telescopic sight to the rifle. A cartridge casing flies from the rocks.
Jesus! It does everything but pull its own trigger.
That's just it.
Angelo sights a poster of a naked woman tacked to the warehouse wall.
Left nipple! Forgive me, my lord and master.
Try that can.
It's too easy.
Turn your back to it. Hide the rifle in front of your body. And when I say go, you'll have exactly 4 seconds to turn, shoot, and get behind that wall.
All right.
I'll count. Go. One. Three. Four. Five. Six.
Not too bad, huh?
Not too good. Now look, there are only three important things in this business. The preparation, the shot, and the getaway. Make a mistake in any one of them, and you're dead. Or under arrest.
Peter remembers a previous job.
As for the target, it's just another tin can. When it's hit, you don't even watch it fall. You're gone before it hits the ground. You don't hate it. You're not even killing it, because it's been dead from the moment you took the contract.
Peter walks over to the water's edge. He takes a drag on a cigarette, then holds it out at arm's length.
Shoot it out.
I don't know.
Come on, you're the cowboy. Show your stuff.
Angelo wipes his hand on his jacket, raises the rifle to his shoulder, then lowers it.
Come on, you can do it.
No, I can't.
You have to.
Why do I have to?
Because tonight, you're going to kill a man.
Angelo lowers his eyes. He massages his neck nervously. Then, with a look of determination, he raises the rifle to his shoulder and sights through the scope. The shot cuts the cigarette in two. The inspector examines a chest x-ray.
Well, you must be very tough.
He crosses the hospital room.
Thank you, Doctor.
Goodbye, Miss.
Thank you,
Inspector. Doctor.
Thank you again. Well, that's good news now. No broken bones. Oh, how do you feel?
I'm all right.
And you didn't tell him anything, did you?
I don't know anything.
Well, Miss, you see, you just had a little lesson, a little taste of the kind of game the Marciano was playing. You got lucky. So far, he's been lucky, too, but it won't last, believe me. Now, if you want to see him alive again, you have to tell me where he is.
Even if I did know, I wouldn't tell you, but I don't know.
Well, then, identify the men who beat you up.
I didn't see the faces very well.
Oh, come on, miss. Come on, now, These men could lead me to the man that hired them.
Sorry, I can't help you.
You're sorry, huh? Is that the way you want it? All right. Now, the doctor says that you can leave the hospital, and that means that you are healthy enough to go to jail. And we will call it protective custody to start with. All right? And then if Marciani spills any more blood in this town, just one more drop, I'm going to book you as an accomplice. Is that clear? You understand? I'll send the car for you later.
Picking up his hat and coat, the inspector walks out into the corridor. He stops at the elevator, then changes his mind and walks farther along the corridor. As he disappears down the staircase, Peter emerges from the elevator.
Sorry, you can't go...
Ignoring the police guards, Peter opens the door to Annie's room. She smiles at him. Outside, a guard runs to the staircase. As Peter takes Annie in his arms, the inspector hurries back to her room.
Like police protection for both of us from now until tomorrow at noon when we fly to New York.
I'm afraid we're going to have to use two separate cells.
That won't be necessary. I've arranged for a secluded cottage.
Inspector!
What is it?
Cannavale glances at Peter.
Nothing.
He backs out of the room. Outside the city, a huge crane raises the wreckage of the car from the base of the cliff. Later, at police headquarters...
Look what the boys found out at the beach. Must be some political group.
He hands over an envelope.
Where was it, in the car?
No, further down the beach.
Hello?
Hello, Inspector. Happy New Year.
We're going to have a big party here tonight. Well, I don't think so. No.
I don't want to stand in your way.
Have a good party.
Yeah, well, I want to know how come he's in there while we're out here freezing our asses off. The guy's a killer, isn't he?
He's an American. Move around.
Inside the cottage, Peter pours a glass of champagne. Joining Annie on the couch, he offers her the glass.
To us.
To us and to our Henriette.
She sips from her side of the glass. Then Peter sips from the other side.
Peter, how much of your life have you spent being happy?
The first 6 years. And the last 3 days.
Me too, like a child. We are lucky, you know.
I'm lucky.
He leans toward her, and they kiss.
I guess it's time, isn't it?
Yes, it's time.
Annie gets up from the couch. Across the room, she puts down her glass. Then she switches on some music and turns down the lights.
Hey, come here. Quick.
Cannavale is watching the window.
The light. Something's up.
Something's up, all right. It's getting warmer.
In front of the window, Annie slips out of her gown and walks slowly toward the bed. Kneeling on the bed, she kisses Peter. Peter lies back. Annie rises up on her knees. Outside, Cannavale and his men watch as Annie removes her slip.
Goodbye, Peter.
Out of sight of the police, Peter has crept into the hall. From outside, it looks as though Annie is straddling Peter on the bed. With the police distracted, Peter slips away. Meanwhile, another detective ushers Pepinello into the inspector's office.
Look who's home for the holidays. What's this all about?
We found him on the racetrack, shooting horses.
The detective hands the inspector the pellet rifle.
One of these days, you're going to put somebody's eye out with this. Sit down. Now, listen. Why don't you get yourself a partner who can really shoot?
So I missed once. So what? It's harder than it looks.
I'll bet you that Angelo never misses, huh?
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know, is that so? You just don't want to admit that he's that good, is that right?
Angelo's not so good. He's just a young, that's all. Why, when I was his age...
Where is he?
I ain't seen him since the American come to town.
Where would he go if he wanted to hide out? You can go free if you tell me.
Well, he... used to try to take the girls on the beach.
The beach? Beach.
The inspector picks up the envelope the officer handed him earlier. He upends it, spilling cartridge casings onto the desk and extracting a sheaf of paper. He finds photographs and a drawing.
Julo's place. Jesus. That stupid little bastard.
The inspector picks up two phones.
Get me through the counter valley. Listen, I want three cars downstairs immediately.
At the cottage, Cannavale hurries to his squad car.
Hello? Yes?
Cannavale, listen. Any trouble yet?
No, everything's just fine.
All right, now you listen to me. If Marciani sticks his head out that door, you shoot that bastard, you understand?
Sure, but don't you worry. He's not going to move.
Okay, let him go. You, come with me.
New Year's Eve fireworks explode across the sky.
Oh,
On Gargiulo's terrace, servants at the table as the mafioso's guests spill outside to watch the fireworks display. Nearby, Angelo stalks through the woods outside the villa. Below him, Gennaro Gallo walks across the terrace to greet some of Cargiulo's guests.
Auguri, eh? Hey, bevete! Alla salute!
Angelo levers a cartridge into the chamber of Peter's rifle and stares at his target. Raising the rifle to his shoulder, he sights through the scope. He lines Gallo up in the crosshairs. Then he lowers the gun. Elsewhere...
If anyone gets there before I do, don't shoot the boy if you can help it.
Angelo raises the rifle and draws a bead on Gallo. But the gangster moves across the terrace and out of sight.
Shit. Why did you come?
You wouldn't have shot him.
You knew it. You always knew it.
But you didn't. And now you know.
Peter takes the rifle.
Go home, Angelo.
You think I'm just a scared kid? Well, you're wrong. I would have shot him. And would have got away, too. I did everything just right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, think of this. There's a bunch of cops back at my cottage who will swear I've been there all evening. You've got nobody to swear for you. That's what's known as being set up. It happens all the time. Or maybe I wanted you here so the cops would find you with a hole in your head that I would have put there. That too happens all the time.
Down below, Don Cargiulo is wheeled onto the terrace. Peter moves to a better vantage point. Peter raises the rifle and sights through the scope, tracking Gallo's movements. As his target raises a glass of red wine, Peter hesitates. Gripping his face tightly with one hand, he remembers his brother's murder. Through the windshield of the car, he sees the face of the man directing the murder. It's Paolo Papaglia, the man who hired him to kill Gallo. Peter centers the crosshairs on Gallo's head. Some of the guests spot Peter on the hillside above them.
You're not the killer. Be grateful for it.
One of the guests shoots Peter in the back. Angelo catches him and helps him out of the woods. As they hurry along the street, a pursuer fires. Peter turns and shoots him down. Angelo supports Peter as they race down a staircase leading to the street below. One of Don Cargiulo's men appears on the stairs above them. Peter draws his pistol and fires back. The man tumbles down the stairs. Running away, Peter trades shots with another man. Hit, the man topples down the hillside. Another man appears. He and Peter fire simultaneously. Peter kills the man, but shot in the shoulder, tumbles to the ground and rolls down the pavement. Angelo runs to his side.
Peter.
He struggles to roll Peter over.
This is the night when people get rid of things they don't need anymore. I don't need you anymore.
Peter slumps against the railing at the edge of the pavement, dying. As a police car approaches, Angelo runs into the darkness. Another squad car rolls up as the inspector gingerly crouches by Peter's body.
He got Gallo.
Well, you fooled me, mister. In many ways. I almost believed you. Mr. Marciano.
Fireworks reflect in the glass of a phone booth as Angelo makes his call. At the other end of the line, Annie sadly puts down the phone. Fireworks continue to light up the sky. Tears roll down Annie's cheeks. Beyond her, a huge orange moon sinks behind the hillside. Later, in the cemetery in New York, Peter's coffin settles into his grave. Paolo Papalia crosses himself and leaves Gino Cotroni's side to join Angelo at the foot of the grave.
So you were there when he got it. He always used to work alone. Now what's all this about a message for me? It's something you made up so you could ask for a job, hey kid? You've got quite an imagination.
No. Peter knew that you paid Gallo to kill his brother. Here's the message.
Angelo fires through the pocket of his coat. Clutching his stomach, Papalia reels away from Angelo and stumbles into the grave, falling on top of Peter's coffin. At the head of the grave, Cotroni stops one of his capos from pulling a gun. No one else moves. Angelo stares at the mourners. They all stare back at him. Even the gravediggers. Picking up a handful of dirt, Cotroni lets it trickle into the grave. Then he walks over to Angelo.
You've made your choice. From now on, you'll work for us in Peter Marciani's place.
Cotroni walks away. The rest of the mourners file past Angelo as they leave the graveside. Angelo stares bitterly into Peter's grave. This described version of Death Rage was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by Bill Williams, narrated by George Thompson, and produced by Marco Soren and Valerie Hunter. Cast: Yul Brynner as Peter, Martin Balsam as the Inspector, Massimo Ranieri as Angelo, Barbara Boucher as Annie, Giancarlo Sbraggia as Gallo, Giacomo Furia as Cannavale. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.